Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
Hello.
Pretty subdued over there.
Nah, I'm feeling good.
Not happy about this.
It's a great day.
With you.
I've got that fun, hot, burning sensation back in my back.
In your butt?
In my butt. Goes in my back and all the way down. That's a little, disconcerting that just started for no apparent reason.
Well, it can't be any worse how you're feeling than our dearest Mike.
No. Look at him in there. Although he claims he's doing okay.
Poor guy.
I'm fine.
Mike Lynch.
Yeah.
New York Yankee fan.
Now, is it worse to just think that the ass whooping is coming when it was 4-0, or is it worse to feel like you have a chance and then have it ripped asunder?
Oh, it was worse to feel like we had a chance to have it ripped asunder, because in the ninth inning, I was feeling kind of good. 2 on, nobody out. And then Stanton did what Stanton does, and then Sanchez almost hit a grand slam, and
was over. I heard dirt that was ripping on Stanton and some people throwing criticism at him for swinging at pitches out of the zone. The cat throws 99, and then he throws one that's 91 to 88, and it dives off the plate. Oh, I'm sorry that you may have been confused by that. Maybe the Yankee fans have seen a guy throw like that before. I don't know, Mariano Rivera. Kind of have to decide beforehand. But I was laughing at people like bagging on him. Just sit on that 98, 99 mile an hour heat and make the adjustment. Yeah, no problem there.
Yeah, but generally I was fine. I was annoyed or antsy. I called it for 10 minutes. I just kind of had to walk around. I didn't want to sit there. And then I got over it, because last year against the Astros, I was an absolute mess when they lost game 7. And I went, why am I like this? What is wrong with me? And like Suk's moment of clarity with the Red Wings yesterday, I kind of had that moment of clarity last year. And I'm okay.
If you can do it and you can put aside the extreme kind of fandom and you reach like a sports nirvana, it's so much better. Because I'm telling you, you don't believe me, but you can still get the highs, but you eliminate the lowest of the lows. And it's way better.
Well, don't you think that happens when you get older anyway?
I don't know, man.
Not for everybody.
Everybody. I was at the Seahawks game on Sunday, and I saw a lot of dudes in their 50s and 60s that needed a deep breath.
Those aren't real fans, though.
I ran into Steve-O.
They think they are, but they're not. Wait, was he there?
Yeah, Steve-O.
Really?
Not that Steve-O, but apparently there's a Seahawks super fan that, believe it or not, Mike in Ridgefield apparently is known for 20 years, because why wouldn't he? But Steve-O was wearing shoulder pads, a customized Seahawks poncho, a luchador mask, giant necklaces, gloves. It was the whole thing. And after the game, when they lost, I thought Steve-O was going to break out in tears.
That to me is not fandom. That is somebody who desperately wants attention.
Yeah, that too. But that guy lives and dies with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, I guess his house is painted Seahawks.
Mm.
It's a whole thing. Apparently, Mike in Richfield knows him, was sending me photos. Like, his yard is a Seahawk field. Like, he's painted it to look like the field at CenturyLink. Mm. Like, that sort of...
Man, those 12s.
Yeah, it's a whole... He's a prison guard, too, apparently. Just that sort of extreme fandom. Well, I guess you get something out of it. I think what it takes away from you is way, way worse. And I think you'd be better off if you just... Even if... Because when I told Mike, if you can reach sports nirvana, you still get the highs, but without the lows... And Mike said, yeah, but you don't get the highest highs. And I would make the argument that even if that's true, the once every handful of years, in the case of like most teams, once every 30 years, or in the case of the Blazers, once every 50 years, that's not worth it. The lows that you experience are way worse than that one moment of euphoria.
But Mike's a Yankee fan.
And he gets them a lot.
They win all the time.
I know.
Or at least there was a time when they did.
No longer.
No. But, you know, poor sad sports Mike. You know, the thing about it is...
Why can you keep trying to paint me as this poor sad sports Mike? I'm fine.
No,
Mike,
you're not.
You're really not. You're not. You're in denial.
Clearly,
we can see it.
Everyone on the Better You Today text line knows that you're in denial.
We're not stupid, no. But it's okay. I totally get it. But, you know, I do enjoy the moments of sports reflection, like Mike was saying, that the game last year made him... By the way, who remembers the Yankees and Astros went 7 games last year?
No, not me.
I'd forgotten they even beat the Yankees on their way to the World Series.
I knew that they beat the Yankees, but when Mike was talking about it, I went back and looked at the series. I was like, that was way better than I remembered.
Giancarlo Stanton strikeout in that series, too? Oh, wait, no, he didn't play for him then.
He might as well have.
You know, he struck out 211 times.
That's a lot of strikeouts. How many did Judge strike out?
Not the most in the majors,
out?
Though.
That's what he, yeah.
What did Judge was hurt.
Yeah.
So how many, we'd have to go strike
out. Judge actually struck out a lot less this year. He was much better in the zone. Yoan Moncada, the leader in strikeouts.
Yeah, that guy for the White Sox is way overrated.
Yeah.
Judge struck out 152.
And how many at bats?
ABs, 413, plate appearances, 498.
Okay, so.
But anyway.
Yeah.
We digress. The sports reflection is always good. As you get older, you kind of, I think if you're paying attention, you're able to.
It's way better.
You're just able to become a more measured sports fan. But some people don't pay attention, or they don't have the self-awareness, or they're fake fans, like, you know, a lot of the 12s.
Yeah.
And they think they're amazing, but they're not. And they think they're special, but they're not. And so, you know, it's everybody's different. It's just it's neat to see Mike grow up before our eyes. Now, the thing is, nobody really feels bad for Mike because...
It's the Yankees.
It's the Yankees, yeah. No. But I will say...
Nobody should feel bad. It's okay.
As I've gotten older... my hatred for the Yankees has diminished. I used to really, hate the Yankees, being small market baseball team, you know, and that whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't hate them as much anymore.
See, I thought I was at that point too. I did declare
I don't like their fans.
On this program that this was by far the least hateable group of Yankees, but you're right. It's the fan base. I may hate this Yankee team less than other Yankee teams, but I hate their fans just as much. And once they got into the playoffs, my hatred of it went right back to where it was at. I feel that way sometimes about Duke. There's moments where I'm like, well, I don't hate Duke as much as I used to. And then I see Duke fan, I'm like, yeah.
Now, see,
yeah, I do.
I can't do it. I hate Duke as much as I used to.
Yeah.
It feels like nothing has changed with Duke. It's the same old Duke. Mm. But Yankees are different because, I don't know, this team is... Well, one, Aaron Judge is a pretty likable guy.
Yeah, Judge is hard to hate.
And they didn't just go out and buy everyone.
No, homegrown, a lot of it.
You know, so it used to be like, it is a good exercise to try to reflect on, like, why you hated the Yankees.
But then you see Voight's haircut and aren't you reminded? You're like, oh,
totally.
Yeah. And then there's that video going around of the barstool gal. Have you seen that?
No.
Where she at the end of the game, they've got her there and then they're filming her, and
I have the video.
Yeah, see if we can pull this
what
up.
Is she, who is this woman?
She's
her
like
name is Liz Gonzalez. She's a Barstool Sports employee and she's a Yankees fan.
She's a super Yankee fan,
and this is the video after the game.
this has been making the rounds.
He was apparently out, but let me just say this: I've been a Yankees fan since I was 8 years old, and I will go to sleep tonight peacefully with my 27 championships, knowing that I will never wake up a damn Red Sox fan. You Boston.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but then you see that and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember now.
I love
although I 100% agree with her.
You're insufferable.
And I cannot wait for the Astros to beat the ever-loving S out of the Red Sox in the next series.
See, the vitriol between Yankees and Red Sox is fun
from
afar.
This series reawakened all of my Red Sox hatred that had been buried slightly over the last few years. I cannot stand the Boston Red Sox.
Well, and then Kimbrel's got to bring it out in you, right?
Like no, he almost blew the game yesterday.
That's true, but the...
You know who brings it out of me? Steve Pierce. What is this guy doing owning the Yankees? Come on. Get out of here.
I was watching that. We were at my brother's birthday
Get
party. And my dad's like a huge Yankee fan.
Forget about it.
Yeah, the game was on and he was white-knuckling it. And so I was clearly rooting against him and the Yankees. But, boy, I had a hard time rooting for Kimbrel. And that stupid beard with the no mustache and then whatever that weird arm-hangy thing he does... there was part of me that was happy to see him kind of struggle, but still see the Yankees end up losing.
Well, like I said before, I think the Red Sox go in the Yankees category now that they've won multiple championships. I mean, they're no longer the, you know, the little bastard.
No.
They're the same.
Sure.
And they all, you know.
They're just the lesser of the evil empires.
Well, the Red Sox fans suck just as bad as Yankee fans.
True.
It's just different, two different archetypes.
Although, did you see them trolling the Yankees with the New York afterwards?
I sure did.
That's fantastic. So if you didn't see it after game two in Boston.
Fair play to them, too. I mean,
yeah,
good troll.
Aaron Judge, as he was walking by the Red Sox locker room leaving the stadium, he had a little Bluetooth speaker and he was blaring New York. And in the postgame celebration last night, the Yankees song of choice, or the Red Sox song of choice, excuse me, New York, New York. And you can hear it in the background, someone being like, turn it up. And then everyone started singing it. Ah, that was great. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yankee fan throwing a beer at Kimbrel.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah. Well, it's classy.
So stupid Yankee fan.
Throwing a beer at A's fan and now throwing it at Kimbrel.
Can I just ask this question? People seem so shocked by these things. Do you not know who Yankee fans are?
This is why we hate you all, Mike.
Right, but it's just like, how could they do that? Have you never seen a game at Yankee Stadium? Like, it's not that surprising.
Well, that's beside the point. The point is,
we hate you.
You're horrible.
Yes, you're horrible.
It's
horrible.
Not like Duck fan didn't just do that the other game like 3 weeks ago, too.
Yeah, people hate Duck fan, too.
Yeah, see, that's a lot of deflection going on over there.
Yeah, Mike's doing the Adidas rep defense. What? Everybody! Yeah, sure, we were paying people, but so was everyone else.
We also had bitchy-ass CC Sabathia griping about the umpire.
Angel Hernandez.
Shut up, dude, you suck. So look, you know.
I love your hate of CC Sabathia.
The Yankees, they weren't as good as the Red Sox, so it probably takes a little of the edge off, right? It's not like you were the favorite to win it. Sports talk, all right.
Mike's just putting his head down at this point.
But so he told me today it only took him like 10 minutes to get over the loss, which I think that's denial.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because it usually takes longer. But as you get older, it does not take nearly as long.
Yeah.
You just don't care as much.
Well, he claims that the Astro loss was a game changer.
Because you care about
changer. Things
that matter.
It was a game changer for me. I was miserable for such a long time, and I don't know why.
We'll see next year when the Yankees are like the odds-on favorite and they blow it or something. Then we'll see. Because right now you're being pretty measured, and we'll see how this goes over the years.
He's acting.
Yeah.
I'm not acting. I think a 16-1 loss will set my expectations different any day of the week.
That does sober you up a little bit. 16-1.
It's true. That team won 100 games, that Yankee team there.
Yeah.
And they finished 8 games back. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the Red Sox just beat a 100-win team, and now they face a tougher team, and they're not even to the World Series.
No.
I mean, this AL this year was bananas.
Well, and not to say that the NL is a cakewalk or anything, but obviously the path to get to the World Series in the American League is much harder than it is in the National League. But at least for the Red Sox. I mean, the Astros got to go through, you know, Cleveland, but...
Epic Final Four.
This is.
Epic.
And...
Astros, Red Sox, you couldn't ask for anything better.
No, and a lot of people think, and rightfully so, that we're going to get a rematch in the World Series next year. Or I guess this year from what we had last year. I mean, most people think Houston's the better team in the American League despite the 100-plus wins for the Red Sox. And I don't know, for whatever reason, people just aren't buying Milwaukee. I think people think that the Dodgers starting pitching is going to be too much.
Well, you've got... Well, who cares what people think?
Well, but it's like
these are very close series. The thing is,
but the Dodgers have it set up. When the Dodgers announced that Kershaw is going to Milwaukee, hasn't decided. I think that tells you something about the level of starting pitching.
But the Brewers have such a better bullpen.
Yes.
So it's, you know, this is very close. I was looking at the odds today. Astros are a slight favorite over the Red Sox, and the Dodgers are a slight favorite over the Brewers. It is really, really close. And you couldn't ask for anything more, man. You got the Brewers are kind of like the underdog label, even though they won a lot of games, but they've kind of got that against big market LA. Mm-hmm. And then you've got two just juggernauts going at it in the AL.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you want, bros.
Well, I'd like it to start tomorrow.
Baseball bros.
I don't want the 2 days off.
I'd like it to start now. Well, right now, 3:15.
Yeah, just both series. Let's go.
Let's go.
Crank it up.
Well, poor, poor, sad sports Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We feel for you. I understand what that's like, although not as a Yankee fan. So because you're a Yankee fan, we feel less bad for you.
Yeah. Does anyone ever feel bad for a Yankee fan ever?
No.
Ever? No.
No, I don't think so.
You've won 27 championships.
Oh. I think you felt bad after 9/11, Suk.
Wow.
Whoa.
Mike went there.
Man, you know what that is? That's an open wound.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have played card without...
You don't tell me that Mike isn't suffering and Mike isn't hurting when he just dropped a 9/11 card on me.
However, that card is a quality play because we have to shut up now.
It is. It's a strong card.
We can't say anything.
Really, that is a strong, strong effort, and I will remain silent now for the rest of this segment.
Hey, big sports show today. I promise you of that. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you even care?
I'm ready. Of course I care.
I've got football things.
I like football things.
We have hump day roundup, college football talc today.
What? We have talcum powder? What? Are we powdering
talc,
things?
College football talc.
Talc, man. Oh, man, that's football.
Oh, man.
We got Jimmy Butler. The Jimmy Butler story is the best thing I've seen in a long time.
Best football, man.
Yeah, let's talk about that to start the show. Each day we find out another NBA front office is a joke.
Yes,
right?
We really do. We've talked to Trent Dilfer before, and he says that there's a misconception that just because you're an NFL coach, you know what you're doing. I feel the same way about the GMs in the NBA. It's like, oh, he's a GM. He clearly has a plan. No, he doesn't.
Guys, move on.
All right, that's where we start. Today's edition, next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Now, granted, my award-winning show prep today was not as long in terms of hours as it usually is.
Yeah, normally it's a to death march. I mean, it's a whole thing. He starts preparing really once the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like it's like a 22-hour ordeal.
And some of my finest show thoughts come after several whiskeys.
Well, I would hope so. If movies have taught me anything, and I like to believe that they have, that in a moment of crisis, see Independence Day, turn to the alcoholic because he will show us the way.
So I didn't prep like I normally do today, but I prepped enough, and I'm happy to report to you that the new segment called Today in Blazers Overhype, I couldn't find anything.
Really?
Yeah, nothing today.
So you made an effort.
Oh, yeah, I looked.
Okay.
So the Blazers today have not been overhyped.
No, although I will say that yesterday maybe they made up for it because there was like four of them. For whatever reason, yesterday there was an S-ton of overhyping, and today...
Well, there's our whole week right there.
That's true. Although maybe it's because they're playing the Suns and no one's playing that everyone's just like, yeah, I can't try, all right? I saw that Fentress was trying to give away his tickets on Twitter today. He was dropping
tickets for tonight's game?
Yeah, and I think they were like club seats that came with like food. He's like, look, anyone want these? Here, take them. He was handing them
out. Well, yeah, Lillard's not playing. McCollum's not playing.
No.
Evan Turner, the guy you all want to see, he's not playing. Gary Trent's not playing.
Although I did see Evan Turner today on Twitter. He had an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
Someone posed the question that is kind of strange, but someone said something to the effect of, if you could sell your sex, and, you know, for how good you are, what would your starting price be? And I believe Evan Turner said $2 million cash.
Do I even want to follow up on this?
I'm just saying, apparently he thinks a lot of himself. $2 million.
Is that high or low? That's high?
I would assume so. I mean, Demi Moore in Indecent Proposal, that whole Woody Harrelson, Robert Redford, was a mill.
You're saying like that?
Yeah. Evan Turner's going $2 million cash. It's a lot of dough. Apparently Evan Turner, doing okay. Way to go, Evan Turner.
Well, he will not play tonight.
No.
So he can do all the sex he wants.
That's the only real Blazer-related. Those are the two Blazer-related things I saw today.
I read
Was Fentress trying to give away tickets, and Evan Turner, apparently his sex is worth $2 million. Not credit, straight cash.
I had somebody who's coming in from out of town this weekend for Oregon, Washington, ask me if they needed to buy tickets to Friday's Blazers preseason game in advance. And I just said,
what?
Probably not.
I'm going to go on StubHub and see what that runs.
Anyway, I did not. Oh, the one thing I did read about the Blazers today was Zach Lowe's thing on his different categories of NBA teams. Did you see that? It's on ESPN, I think.
Oh, is this the one where he's saying, are they just a borderline playoff team?
Yeah, he said they're a borderline playoff.
Okay, never mind.
They're not a playoff contender.
I did see that.
Sorry, that's not true. I forget the different levels that he had, but he had the Blazers with the Spurs and who's the other team in there?
There are a bunch. Timberwolves, Heat, without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Right. Detroit and one other one, Charlotte, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were all borderline playoff.
Borderline playoff team. So I apologize. There were three
things. Not Blazers overhype.
No. Three things I saw about the Blazers today. Ticket giveaway, sex for sale, and borderline playoff team.
Well, and Dirt and Sprague talked about the anonymous scout. Talked about each team, and they were talking about what they had said about the Blazers as well. Did you see that one?
No.
That was pretty interesting.
Anonymous scout talk?
Yeah, a scout basically went over each team in detail about the strengths and weaknesses. Mm. And this scout said that he preferred CJ to Jimmy Butler.
I think it's really sexy.
What?
Because he said...
Scouts are idiots.
With Jimmy Butler's attitude issues, he would prefer to have CJ and sleep well at night.
Does Jimmy Butler really have attitude issues? And does CJ McCollum not? Does Jimmy Butler really have attitude issues?
Well, right now in Minnesota, he does. But he's also a guy that can take all the third team garbage guys and beat the starters.
Look, I don't, and we're going to get into the Jimmy Butler thing here.
Yeah.
Because it is interesting what happened with him today. And we'll tell you about that in a moment.
And by the way, I looked it up. Would you care to guess?
7.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
To get into 6. The Sacramento bingo, $6 right now on StubHub. So your buddy, if he needed to buy in advance, no, he doesn't. $6. And I'm guessing that by the time Friday night rolls around, that's lower. I will tell you, though, that a parking pass for that game?
20.
$24.
What?
Yeah. $24 to park, $6 to get in the game.
Well, I don't know everything that's going on with Jimmy Butler in Minnesota or why he is being difficult. But could it just be that he wants to win? And what he's seen there, he doesn't like. And so he's like, screw it. Get me out of here. I want to win.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here.
Although, is that an attitude issue or is that just is that a modern day athlete kind of looking out for himself? Like a lot of these guys are doing these days. Like, you know, you look at these guys in the NFL that are holding out. And
yeah, there's an element of that. But I also think that there is the fact that he wants to go to like Brooklyn or the New York or Miami, which aren't necessarily teams ready to win.
Well, maybe he thinks he's... See, a lot of these guys think that they're the guy. Like, if he goes there, they'll instantly be good.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what Butler thinks.
Well, there's an element of that, I'm sure.
You know.
But no offense to any scout, but to say that CJ is better than Jimmy Butler, I mean, that's...
That's crazy.
That's absurd.
And he's citing... But that's the thing, is he's citing the attitude thing. Is CJ McCollum, like, the greatest teammate with, like... With no attitude issues whatsoever. Like, CJ McCollum
seems to get along well with Lillard.
Well, yeah, but he gets along well with him. But I think CJ kind of comes across as a guy who's kind of all about CJ, right? I mean, he's all about his points. He's all about, you know, just doing what's good for him. I mean, this is a big year for him. I mean, look, they didn't get any better with the on paper, right?
Yeah.
The Blazers.
No. They got, they got Stauskas, they got Stauskas.
Yeah. Okay.
And his array of hot sauces.
Exhibit A, they didn't get any better.
No.
So at some point, you just have to look at the players you have and go, okay, well, what is it now? What's it going to be, bro? Are you just going to average your 25 points a game and work on another offensive move that'll maybe get you more all-star votes? Or are you going to look at this team and go, well, they didn't bring in any reinforcements. Damian Lillard is doing everything he can. I need to do more to help this team win more games and get further in the playoffs. How do I do that? How do I change my game? How do I improve my game in other areas that are going to help the team? And, you know, so far he hasn't shown really that he's all about that. I mean, Damian Lillard last year really worked on his defense.
Yes.
CJ McCollum did not. I mean, so he's just kind of, at this point, unless he shows us something different, the guy's a damn good scorer. Other than that, he's not taking his game to the next level. So is that an attitude issue? Is that a problem? I'd rather have Jimmy Butler if he's going to be this fiery about it. I want the fire of Jimmy Butler over just the complacency, the seemingly complacent CJ McCollum.
Do you want me to read you the paragraph that the scout wrote just so you can hear it?
Sure.
From him?
What can you read?
I will try my best.
Oh.
Also, I want to throw this in there because it's funny. I've given up on Myers Leonard at this point, and I bet Portland would have given up on him by now, too, if they could have. But now Davis is gone, so they have a hole at the fourth big spot. I can't believe he didn't block a single shot last year. Myers didn't block a single shot.
No, that is amazing.
CJ is a stud on offense. He's a dynamic scorer, can shoot from mid-range and way beyond the arc. He's one of the craftiest ball handlers and pick-and-roll guys. He can get better at getting to the free-throw line, but he's so crafty that he shifts away from defenders that it sometimes works against him. He's not huge on seeking out contact. I wouldn't trade Damian or CJ. Would you rather have Jimmy Butler and his health and attitude issues or have CJ? I'd rather just have CJ and sleep easy at night. One issue is that Lillard and McCollum are older and in their prime, and almost their whole roster is really, really young.
Older. Is that what we're calling them now?
They're older?
Well, Dame is 28.
Well, the GM bro isn't going to like that. The GM bro will throw out that they're like the second youngest team or whatever in the NBA. He loves throwing that out.
Breaking news, dude.
Also, Nick Stauskas is apparently horrific at defense. Which is why three teams have given up on him.
But he has his own sauce. His name is Sauskas. He's in the sauce game. So we've got that coming.
Bifurcate.
Look, Jimmy Butler alongside Damian Lillard, to me, just that's the sort of stuff that makes you salivate. Because
I love Jimmy Butler's game.
It's a two-way player that really impacts the game on both ends.
Okay.
And it's a non-starter because it's not happening. But I will say this, my last kind of piece to it. The only reason a player like Jimmy Butler would be available is because there's a little baggage to it. And to me, when you're talking about a player of that caliber, you roll the dice on it because without it, you know, then you get a true definition of a superstar that teams A, don't let go, or you can never get your hands on.
I just think we got to be careful saying baggage and putting a Jimmy Butler in the same category as a Carmelo Anthony or a DeMarcus Cousins. I think that's ridiculous. These guys aren't all the same. And if you want to call what Jimmy Butler's doing in Minnesota baggage, then you know pretty much every player has why don't we call LeBron James situation where he's like the king of everything and puts everyone under his thumb?
That is a great effing point.
Why don't we call that baggage?
Because here's the thing with if LeBron was not, let's say LeBron was 15% less, right? So still a top 15-ish player like Jimmy Butler. All of LeBron stuff would be viewed in a completely different light. It's just that he's so damn good that we give him a pass on all this passive aggressive crap and coach firings and manipulating the roster because he's just so talented. That is a really, that may be the best
ever?
Thing you've said
ever
in a long time.
Wow.
Is that
just right off the top of my head?
That
I'm
is solid.
Wet.
That if LeBron was just a little bit worse,
I'm done for the day.
He would be a giant pain in the ass.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today. We'll be back tomorrow with...
We're out!
Hopefully something. No, okay. Well, we haven't even gotten to what we wanted to, and we'll do that next because we have to move on to football things. But coming up next, our next segment, we'll tell you what happened with Jimmy Butler today because it's a really big news story. But each day we do find out another NBA front office is quite a mess, and today's version of that happened in Minnesota, and we'll tell you on the ballot. We'll tell you on the ballot.
Glad to see you back.
Tell you on the ballot.
You raised the bar and then just slid right underneath it.
We will tell you all
enough
about
this spirit. This
next. What? Here's lunch.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, big news today. Really big about Jimmy Butler. Not really, just kind of interesting. You know, he returned to practice with the Timberwolves today.
Yeah, he's missed camp. He's missed the games.
This is his first time back since he requested a trade in the offseason. And from what I understand, you may know more, but I understand it that he played with Minnesota for the year and he did not like specifically Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins' sort of approach to the game. He doesn't think they want to win. He doesn't think they care about winning. And it frustrated him, and he requested a trade.
Oh, he didn't just request. He said, basically said, I'm not playing for you. I want out. He let them know in every possible way, do not bring me back. And then we had the weird battle where Tom Thibodeau, who is their GM, said that Jimmy Butler is not on the trading block. And then the owner said, yes, he is. Contact me directly. And
well, their GM is not Tom Thibodeau. Their GM is Scott Layden.
That's true. But I guess Thibodeau is the what?
He's a big.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know how these titles. But Thibodeau is a big piece of why Butler's there because they were with each other in Chicago.
Yeah.
So they have I thought they had a decent enough relationship. But each day we find out another NBA front office is just a mess. And yesterday it was the Suns who are just going to, it sounds like, just going to turn over the front office to James Jones for some reason. But today it's the T-Wolves. They can't get out of their own way. It's like, just trade the guy. I mean, it's like the Seahawks with Earl Thomas. You're just not going to get what you want to get from him at this point. You don't have the leverage. So do what you can, get him out of there. He doesn't want to play for you. Well, I guess Butler returned to practice today and in scrimmage, just had everybody speechless. I guess he at one point turned to the GM who was in attendance and said, "You effing need me. You can't win without me." And I guess he led the reserve, the Minnesota Timberwolves reserves to a win over the starters. And it was sort of this mic drop moment where he challenged coaches and teammates and said, "F you, let's go." And then left and then literally walked off the court.
And then he went and did an interview with ESPN.
Yeah. And that I want to see, because I really do want to get a perspective on what he is saying and how he's going about this. So I just saw it up there. We were watching it in the studio. Unfortunately, you know, we're doing a show. I didn't have the sound. So I'm going to watch that tonight, because I find that he is getting a bit of a bad rap. But again, I want to hear what he says. Maybe I'll hear that interview and come back tomorrow and go, "Yeah, but he's an idiot. I don't know." But
from my perspective, go pull it. If you go to ESPN.com,
is it already there?
There's a minute 35 clip, and it says Butler explains how passion and honesty took over in practice. Front page of ESPN. All grab right. that, and we'll at least get that minute and a half clip.
Let's listen to it live on the air.
There you go.
But I don't know, man. I think that the modern day athlete is interesting in that. A lot of them speak up more than guys from the past because they've been enabled to. And the NBA culture kind of allows for, it certainly breeds prima donnas. But at the same time, that can also breed some brass balls on some players. It's sure. a players' league. I mean, the NFL tries to keep you under its thumb. The NBA does not. These guys have been coddled from day one. They are the ones... They get the guaranteed contracts, not the coaches and the GMs. And they know that, like guys demanding trades and guys holding out and this and that. And so it's an interesting time for these dudes. But a lot of times, because these guys speak up and they do pull these types of things, it looks bad. But at the same time, if you really step back and look at what he's doing, I don't think it is that bad. And maybe he is going to challenge Minnesota to be better, and Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns to be better. And if not, screw you. I want out of here. To me, it all just seems reasonable, but maybe there's something I'm missing.
Well, it's possible that what you're saying is right. And then you can also go the other side of things, and people are going to view this as a spoiled, rotten athlete. But there may be a middle ground here where a guy has told, and by the way, Thibodeau is the president of basketball operations. So he is the poobah, but he does have a GM. But ultimately, it rests with Thibodeau, and obviously he can't get it right with the owner.
Bifurcate.
Because Thibodeau says he's not available, and the owner says he is. Who the hell do you even call to make a deal? But Butler, to be, I guess, somewhere in the middle of this, Butler has let them know that he does not want to play there. He has let them know in every possible way, "I don't want to be here. You don't want me here." And then you're surprised when he shows up and there's some drama. I mean, holy hell.
Who's surprised?
Well, I guess like if anyone that's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe he did this." Or if the Timberwolves are upset about it, what more can a guy do than say, "I don't want to be here. Get rid of me. This doesn't work for me." And then you're surprised, or maybe you're angry that he showed up and there was some frustration that was spilling over. Minnesota had every opportunity and they chose this. They chose to bring him back. And now whatever happens, to me, it's almost equally parts on Jimmy Butler and Minnesota.
Two things. Well, I don't know
if this is the end of the world.
Well, certainly not the end of the world.
He's pissed.
But somebody texted the Better You Today text line and said, "I wonder why the T-Wolves don't have any leverage." Oh, I know, because Butler handcuffed them with his demands. Well, I mean, why should a guy just sit and take a situation that he doesn't like? Like, I mean, what if that were you?
Teams
like,
don't
you're
do
just
it.
Supposed to just sit there. Right. Yeah. If a team doesn't like a player, they get his ass out of there.
Yeah.
Why can't a player go to a team and say, "You know what? This sucks. I thought this would be way better. These guys aren't winners. This culture isn't a winning culture. I want to win. I'm out of here." I don't understand what's wrong with that. And I feel like there's just a tinge of just sort of like, you got to fall in, you know, young black athletes got to fall in line. How dare he, say how he actually feels. He's making millions. He should just be happy. No, that's not how you would handle it.
No.
And it's not how he's handling.
But I do think there's an element with fans that these guys make millions of dollars and no one wants to hear them complain. But I flip the script on that and say that the owners make billions of dollars. Most of these guys are billionaires. Their franchises are worth $1 billion. But no one has a problem when a team gives a guy a commitment, gives a guy a contract, and then they ship him out of town. Look what happened to in Toronto with Kawhi Leonard and DeRozan, right? DeRozan went to Toronto and was like, hey, are we good here? Like, I'm part of this. Absolutely. You're our guy. And then a month later, oh, yeah, by the way, you're out of town. We don't like you. No one kills anyone for that. In the NFL, when you cut a player mid-contract, no one gives an NFL team crap. All fans want loyalty, but you're right. We only want it one way. We want it from athlete to team, and you have to respect the contract, but we don't expect any sort of, the same sort of standard from team to player.
Well, and a lot of these franchises are not good. They are bad cultures, right?
Yeah.
Like a corporate culture. And why are they above reproach?
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky that Damian Lillard doesn't call out more of the Blazers BS.
Yes. I think he's much more lucky that you've got a guy that, while he will rattle the cage from time to time, he does it in a very classy manner. And
so would you hate him if he did that? If he comes out in Portland and says, look, you know, you're not doing enough here. Wasting me.
I battled my ass off here for how many years, and it's not getting anywhere.
He thinks that.
Yes, but he won't say it. And well, apparently Jimmy Butler will.
Okay, you want to hear the clip?
Yeah, so this is the minute 35 of the ESPN interview that he gave the day of
this is today.
Yeah, this is
with
today.
Rachel Nichols.
And yeah, this was right after the practice where apparently he yelled at the GM.
I'm just going to read a little bit of Adrian Wojnarowski's report on what happened there, that you were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layton, quote, you effing need me. How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No, but I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me at my finest, me at my purest. That's what you're gonna get inside the lines. And
I was gonna say, is it not the right way for it to come out? Do you think it was the wrong thing to do, or was it an okay thing to do?
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game, and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing, was competing. Playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, there's... That's interesting.
Watching the clip, he starts to kind of grin when she's reading the Adrian Wojnarowski report.
Look, I think some of what he's saying is true, but I think a lot of it was just an FU. It just was an FU.
Well, the question is, what happens? If they don't trade him, is he going to play there?
Well, otherwise, why would he have shown up?
It sounds like they're trying to make it work.
Yeah. But if you're Minnesota and you're going to try to shoehorn this in, then you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that doesn't want to be there, that's frustrated and is volatile. But this isn't any different. Remember when there was the video of Kobe in practice throwing the ball at someone and then walking off and saying the rest of these guys are trash? Remember that? Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't that uncommon. Michael Jordan would punch teammates in the face during practice.
No, but he's already made... trade request.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. What he did today, I don't, you know, whatever. That stuff, yeah, a lot of that stuff goes on behind closed doors you don't even know about with every franchise,
sure,
right? And we probably shouldn't make such a big deal out of it. Although turning to the GM and saying, you can't win without me, you effing need me. Yeah, that's
pretty clear message.
Quite a message. But I think that's less so than the trade, guys demanding trades. For whatever reason, that really drives people crazy, yeah. Because... like, for example, on the Better You Today text line, people say, well, the problem I have is if I go to work and I have a contract with the company, I can't just say I'm no longer working here because I don't like the culture.
Yes, you can.
And I'm going to demand a trade. People always like that one. And the other one is, why not just handle it behind closed doors? Why do you have to make it public and now crap all over them and make them look bad? Well, I think part of the reason for that is it's the way to get things done.
Yeah.
I mean, you go behind closed doors all you want and they'll just look at you and be like, yeah, whatever. But you take it public, they have to listen at that point.
Well, twofold to the whole, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can tell your boss that you don't want to work there anymore. You may get fired, and Jimmy Butler's fine with getting fired. Cut him. He doesn't care. The difference is that Jimmy Butler can find another job. So we all have these. We all have the ability to do this. You and I can do it. If we wanted to, we could show up here tomorrow and be like, you know what? Not happy with the way the station is going. Don't want to do it. Get rid of me. And then the station has a choice. They can keep put you back on the air and get a disgruntled, angry employee, or they can get rid of you. They can fire you. That's no different. I think what makes people angry is these guys have a seemingly unlimited option, because getting rid of Jimmy Butler doesn't hurt Jimmy Butler. It only hurts the franchise. And that's what people are bitter about, because there's such leverage. When you're one of the top 15 people in the world at what you do, you have a leverage that the rest of us don't have. You and I certainly don't have that. Not many people do, but we're not Jimmy Butler.
Well, that's also been collectively bargained.
Yes.
The players' leverage in situations like this, you can blame, you can point the finger wherever you like, but the league and the owners agreed to the collective bargaining agreement that allows Jimmy Butler to get away with crap like this.
And the other thing that you can say is it really the worst thing in the world? Because Jimmy Butler walks after this year. He's got a player option. So is it better? If you're talking about in for the best thing for the Timberwolves, for Jimmy Butler to be pissed off and bitter and just kind of stew on it, be a malcontent, run through this season and then walk away? Or is it better for Jimmy Butler to say, hey, deal me, because I'm gone at the end of the year, so you better get something for me? So people saying that he's devaluing himself. Well, what value does he have at the end of the year when he walks for nothing? Because he sure as hell isn't going to re-sign in Minnesota. He's not going to pick up his player option. And I'm looking at his contract here, and he's got 1 year left, and then there's a player option, which he clearly isn't going to pick up. So you can make the argument that, yeah, he may be devaluing himself a little bit on the trade market, but at least Minnesota has the option to get something for him, as opposed to wait for this year to run out, and then he pulls a LaMarcus Aldridge and he walks for nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting. The texts on this are good. We'll read a few of those next. Better You Today text line 55305, and then football things on The Fan.
The Fan.
All right, some text messages regarding Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Bigger conversation here about athletes who make demands. How dare they, about their own personal livelihoods and situations. People trying to decipher what it's really about. Why don't we just listen to them? Are they lying about everything?
We can't do that. Well, he did say it's not about the money, but usually when someone says it's not about the money, a lot of times it's about the money.
Yeah, somebody said, called out the GM and the guys he paid, plays for his passion, not money, asked the Bulls about his attitude, and he only called out the guys who got paid and the man he thinks paid them. If someone says it ain't about money, it's about the money.
Yeah, there is an element of that.
Did he? I don't know. Tell me about that in Chicago. What is he talking about there?
Well, I'm not sure what the situation in Chicago. I know they were rebuilding, and that, you know, Butler was viewed as a piece that didn't want to rebuild. So I'm not certain if he was a malcontent there, if he didn't want to go through the rebuild, that they just used him as a way to get younger assets and get better. But that was the thing, is Chicago is going through a total teardown and Jimmy Butler didn't fit into it.
Rob, how does the Butler situation compare to Earl Thomas, who you criticized for giving the finger to his employer? Well, I mean, I don't have a problem. Again, I never have a problem with how a guy feels. It's his own personal situation. It's just how they act upon those feelings. And I thought Earl Thomas flipping off his own sideline, his teammates, his coaches, was I just thought it was a bad move. I was stupid. Like, why? What are you doing? Whereas Jimmy Butler requesting a trade is well within his right. I mean, it's totally different.
I think they're talking about what he did at practice.
Well, he's back at practice.
Yeah.
And him yelling at the GM, not good. Again, I never have a problem with how he feels, but the way you act upon those feelings. And he even admitted in that clip we played that he probably crossed the line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he probably crossed the line, but so did Earl Thomas. I mean, okay, it does happen.
And both guys are in situations where they don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, and that's, and I think that's really what we're talking about.
When you're in a situation that you don't want to be at, and you feel like you have some leverage to get out of there, yeah, you're probably not going to act in the most civil of ways. It's like saying that in the middle of a divorce, you're pissed at someone because they yelled at their spouse or that there was an argument at the lawyer's office. Well, when you're going through a breakup, you know, you don't necessarily act.
I think that they
maybe
need
the best that you ever,
right,
you ever have.
I agree with that. But I also think that, and this is what I criticize Earl Thomas for. And I assume that guy is right to say, well, Jimmy Butler needs a little bit of that too. And it's like, you know, just grow up a little bit in how you handle it. Again, not how you feel, just how you go about handling it. And turning to the GM and telling him you effing need me is probably something that he shouldn't have done.
No. And he kind of admitted, he kind of admitted it.
So just a little perspective, but it's not easy to go through these things and do everything correctly and do everything classy. It's hard. It's a lot of emotion, and that's what he said. These guys are young.
Yeah.
Remember, these guys are a lot younger.
Jimmy Butler's 27, 28 maybe?
I don't know, but he's in his 20s, which is that's young. And that's actually old compared to some of the other guys in the league that are just coming in and they're younger, earlier in their 20s, but they're still so young. And so I don't know.
He just turned 29. That being said, I would gladly take Jimmy Butler on my basketball team.
But Ryan said it too. Oh, absolutely. Ryan said it too, said, you know, anybody that gripes about Jimmy Butler and the way he goes about this in his own personal dealings is just jealous that he has the leverage that he has.
Yeah.
And that's right. Like, people text, like, you have to be professional and civil with who you work with and your employer. Well, yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the leverage of Jimmy Butler. He doesn't.
No.
He has that luxury. He has earned that luxury. Yeah. It's just a different lot in life. Suck it up.
Yeah. Like, in the radio world, was it like Don Imus, right? Was notoriously just a horrible human being. And Don Imus got away with it because he was number one in New York. A lot of people that are really good at their jobs are like that. When I was in the NFL, I was reminded so many times of how little I mattered. And I always was envious of the people that just, I'm not saying necessarily did what they wanted, but a lot of times they did and they could get away with it. I remember once in practice at Tampa Bay, Simeon Rice came up to me when I was standing there, like after a play, and Simeon Rice came up and just kicked me in the back. And then I stood up and I was like, what the hell? So I turned around to swing back and we got into a bit of a dust up, ended up grabbing some face masks and all that. And I was pulled aside by Rob Marinelli, who was the defensive coordinator at the time. And he said, do you know who that is? And I said, yes. And he said, what's his name? I said, Simeon Rice. And he said, who are you? And I got the message and I was like, Jay, and he goes, you're nobody. And I was basically told that I don't care what he does to you. You don't turn around and swing back at him because he was one of the best defensive player in the league. And I was a third string center and I was envious of that, but absolutely he got to do things that I didn't get to do. And that happens in every walk of life. It's not just sports. If you're the number one attorney in the city, you're going to get away with things that the public defender isn't. But you're right. The general public has an issue with that because most people don't have that kind of leverage. And it sucks when you have to play by a set of rules and the other guy doesn't.
Okay, so coming up, football things. I will get to a few more texts on this as well. 55305 and in the news is right around the corner as well. It's 403.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.